This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. We'll start with a close look at last night's gas leak and explosion in Dorchester that injured a dozen people, two of them seriously. Fire officials believe a gas leak may have sparked the explosion and three-alarm fire. Crews from National Grid were on the scene before the fire because of reports of a gas odor.
Now, National Grid is the major gas supplier in Greater Boston, and a recent federal study found that almost 40% of gas mains running under the streets of the city were installed before 1940. And for every 100 miles of mains, there are at least 69 known leaks. Nathan Phillips is professor in Boston University's Department of Earth and Environment and director of BU's Sustainable Neighborhood Laboratory. He recently worked with the advocacy group Conservation Law Foundation to map gas leaks across Boston, and he joins us now. Professor Phillips, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
So first of all, what more do we know, if anything, about what caused this Dorchester explosion last night?
Well, I've been reading the news media just like everyone else, and so there's a lot that we don't know. It appears to be gas. As you mentioned, a gas odor was called in, and National Grid was on scene prior to, it sounds like, the explosion. But whether where the leak originated from is unclear at this point, whether it was inside the house in a service line going to the building or on the gas main in the street. It's unclear at this point.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit more about all those, you know, hundreds and thousands of miles of gas mains beneath the streets of Greater Boston. I mean, you've been studying these things for a long time, and this map that we have a link to at radioboston.org shows in detail various levels of concern regarding locations around the city that have leaks. So tell us a little bit more about your assessment of the gas infrastructure in Greater Boston.
Well, Boston, as you know, is an old city, and it has old infrastructure. And like much of our infrastructure around the nation, we have aging roads and bridges, but the infrastructure below ground, the stuff we cannot see, is also aging, and Boston has very old pipe networks, including cast iron, which is leaky and many decades old.
I see that we have the honor, if I can put it that way, of having possibly one of the oldest pipe systems in the country. There are places where the pipes may be, 150 years old?
Yeah, that'd probably be about the limit of the age, but certainly there are pipes in Boston that are over a century old.
Wow. And nearly a third of the 21,000 miles of natural gas pipes running underneath the cities across Massachusetts are considered leak prone. Is that unusually high in comparison to other places in the country?
It tends to be high, but the Eastern Seaboard as a whole has old infrastructure, and so we completed a study in Washington, D.C., for example, that showed that the problem there is just as bad, if not worse, than in Boston, and other driving surveys that we've made in other cities and towns throughout Massachusetts and New England and down the seaboard show the same pattern.
Hmm. Now, sorry if this is a gauche question, but I'm curious, what is exactly causing all of these leaks? Your study in 2012 found that there are more than 3,300 known gas leaks just in the city of Boston.
Yeah, so again, the aging, the very old, decades-old pipe infrastructure, nothing lasts forever. These things start to age. Corrosion can be a factor. The coupling between pipes, where one pipe fits to the next, the seals that sealed those start to shrink and crack and contract, and gas can come out from those places as well. So cast iron as a material itself, this old pipeline, it's not that cast iron as a material itself is bad, but when it gets very old, like any material that gets old, it can start to have some dysfunction.
Right. And I wonder if there's increasing concern amongst the utilities themselves and state and federal lawmakers, because, I mean, we had this explosion in Dorchester last night. 12 people were injured, two of them seriously. And I presume folks listening will remember that just earlier this year, there was that major explosion in East Harlem in New York that killed 8. So has there been any movement to accelerate the rate at which the aging gas lines, let's just keep our focus here in Boston, are replaced or updated?
Yes, there is. And I think that the utilities themselves certainly are very concerned about this, and they're doing what they can to address the problem. the legislation that's occurring at the state level and the federal level in Massachusetts and at the federal level is moving ahead. So that's a very good outcome in terms of addressing this problem. So there's active legislation going through the process right now to address the problem.
Right. I see that Senator Markey in Congress is drafting legislation that aims to accelerate repairs by making it easier for utilities to collect reimbursements. So, I mean, is that the way that the repairs would be paid for, that through rate increases for ratepayers?
Well, that may be part of it, but also that the incentives are aligned so that the utilities themselves have more of an incentive to invest in replacing infrastructure. And that's work that the Conservation Law Foundation has really pushed forward, is to align the incentives, because right now the costs are simply passed along to the consumer for all of the lost gas. And so if the utilities have more of a vested interest in recouping that lost gas, then that provides the incentive that they need.
Right. And Senator Markey actually in 2013 released a study that said Massachusetts customers paid between $640 million and $1.5 billion in the first decade of the 2000s for gas that never even reached their homes. So obviously it's the leaks themselves are causing or costing people a lot of money. But what about the danger issue again? I mean, I'm looking at the map here that the CLF and you have put together, and it shows different grades of known leaks. There's a couple bright red ones that could be explosive hazards. Then there's a lot of orange ones around Boston that are somewhere in between, and a bunch of pale yellow ones that aren't real. They're known leaks, but aren't really a concern. But what I'm seeing overall are little dots everywhere across Greater Boston. So are people right to be concerned?
Yeah, people are right to be concerned. I think that one message we can take away from what's happened yesterday is that any leak anywhere has the potential to become dangerous. And so we can't become complacent. If you smell an odor in a house that you think is gas, you need to get out, you need to get other people out, and then you need to call 911 or the gas company emergency number.
Well, Nathan Phillips is a professor at Boston University's Department of the Earth and Environment. He's also director of BU's Sustainable Neighborhood Laboratory. And we've got a link to that interactive gas leak map that we've been talking about. It's at radioboston.org. Professor Phillips, thank you so much for joining us once again.
You're welcome.